just singing tonight. Thank you all.
Amen.
Take the Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. I told myself back here in camp meeting last year, when Brother Tim Shirley preached from Isaiah chapter number 6, about the Lord's train and how it fills a temple, I listened to that message and I thought, well, it's the last time I'll preach from that passage of Scripture.
Amen.
That was, you remember that message, that was amazing. But I want you to look at Isaiah chapter number 6 tonight. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter number 6, we're going to start reading verse number 1. Isaiah chapter number 6, the Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood three seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, God, we thank you for the great singing tonight. And Lord, thank you for a great service this morning. Now, Lord, for a few minutes, help us to be a help to your people tonight. God, touch our lips, put your words in our mouth. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you are familiar with that passage of Scripture right there? There's several things there that really have always intrigued me. And I know the thing that ought to draw our attention more than anything is the Lord. Is that right? And it does, but them creatures with the six wings, with twain that covered their face, with twain that covered their feet, with twain that fly, them things, I can't wait to get to heaven and see one of those things. Amen? And that's going to be a pretty neat deal. But got to be careful I get ahead of myself a little bit. But I want you to notice that this chapter starts out in the year that King Uzziah died. I mean, I don't know if you know much about King Uzziah, but King Uzziah was a good king. He was a good king. I mean, far godlier than many of the kings of the past. He was a godly man and a godly king. He was highly influenced by the prophet Zechariah. Under his influence, the southern kingdom grew in power and wealth and success unlike it had since the days of Solomon. King Uzziah was a good king. If you read 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, his biggest problem or his only downfall is pride. He gets a little full of himself and decides that he'll go in the temple and perform the duties of the priest. And he goes in to burn the incense, and the priests come in to correct him and say, Uzziah, you're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to be the sons of Aaron. And if you do that, you're not supposed to do that. And I believe that old Uzziah would have said, you're right, I'm sorry, I believe everything would have been okay. But he didn't. Because he's full of pride, probably because of his great success. I would imagine because he was very successful, he had been a great leader. Matter of fact, he led Israel for 52 years. He was a king for 52 years. That's a long time to reign. And I mean, this was a good man. He just made a bad mistake. And those priests came in and they said, hey, you can't be doing this. And so instead of getting right about it, he got mad. He got mad and started throwing a fit with the priest. Listen, when God corrects you, the best thing you can do is just get right about it. Amen. Nine times out of ten, when you get mad at the preacher, it was for you. Amen. Nine times out of jumped in when the preacher rubs you a little bit the wrong way, or hits on that sin you got hidden, or whatever it may be, and you get a little wroth or a little bit stirred up and angry, you better pay attention. Because when your sin is confronted, that flesh automatically wants to flare up. Amen. So I kind of watch that. When I'm listening to preaching, the old preacher, he gets a little bit hard, and my old flesh, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? And 9 times out of 10, he is. But old Uzziah, he doesn't take the correction. He gets mad and throws a fit, and right there in the middle of the temple, the Lord strikes him or smites him with leprosy. It broke out right in his face, on his forehead, right in front of the priest. And buddy, he had to be exiled. And he died in that condition. But overall, other than this one episode in his life, King Uzziah was a good man. And he had reigned for 52 years. His death signaled an end of a time of prosperity. King Uzziah has died. Can you imagine? I'm nobody. I'm nothing. But I've been pastoring this church for 23 years. And I've been here a long time. We're used to each other. We know each other. I wouldn't say we've been great success, but then we've had some success. God's been good. We've seen a lot of people get saved. And if we're not careful, we get a little bit full of ourselves and think we did something. When we did nothing, it was all the Lord. Amen. And the glory goes to him. But can you imagine? I'm just trying to bring this down to our realm here, where we'd understand. If I just fell over dead, I mean, I'd say that'd be a down time for the church, wouldn't you? I mean, here you are. You love me. I love you. And I fell over dead. And now your pastor who you love, he's gone. And now you got to try to find another one. And it'd just be a time of unrest or unsettledness, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you agree to that? I thought about that today with that family. Terry Sullivan, I grew up with him, known him all my life. There he was. We had to have this funeral today. And I thought, boy, this is simply a time of unrest and uneasiness, unsure about what to do next or what's going to happen. Listen, you're going to have those times in your life. For 52 years, Isaiah has had his eyes on his kingdom. But now his king has died. So God redirects his attention from a dead king to a living king. Now listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. We're going to have those times of unsettledness in our life. We're going to have those times of change. Change is hard. Change is hard. You lose your job and try to start a new one, all that kind of stuff. That stuff's tough, man. And we go through change. And maybe it's not always change. Or maybe it's not always somebody died. Maybe it's just you hit a bump in the road and man, you just get in a slump. Anybody ever been there? I don't care who you are, you get in a slump. The best batters in Major League Baseball gets in a slump. The best athletes in the world, they find themselves where they're just off their game. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're just not on top of your spiritual game. I've been there. I get there from time to time. Matter of fact, I visit it quite often. I get there and think, boy, I ain't doing too hot. And then the next day, I think, I'm doing better. And then the next day, I ain't doing too hot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We get down. We get down. I'd say Isaiah is in one of those periods in his life where things are just a little unsettled. Their king has died. His son's fixed to take over. And they don't know what that's going to bring about. And God does something amazing in this downtime in Isaiah's life. God takes himself and draws Isaiah's attention away from what's wrong and puts his attention on what is right. I'm going to tell you what to do tonight when you get in those downtimes, those slumps of life. I don't care. You can be super Christian. You can have a red cape flowing behind you and a big S on your chest. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days when spiritually you ain't all that. Amen? There's days when people call me and ask for spiritual advice, and honestly, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm in no shape to advise anyone. Some of y'all can't handle honesty. I'm human too. And there's days people ask me, say, preacher, I need some spiritual guidance. And I'm thinking, me too.
Maybe I'll guide you and you guide me, but chances are neither one of us are feeling very spiritual at that moment, and we're going to send one another in the wrong direction. Amen. Every one of us are going to find ourselves in this kind. Now, I'm going to tell you, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 6, these verses we've read tonight, I'd say he had a personal revival. We think about revival, we think about Burlington from North Carolina, where they went for 12, 13 weeks, and over 1,000 people getting saved. We think about that kind of revival. And I want to see that kind of revival. I pray God send that to Bill Ripley.
Yeah.
We need some of that. I'd take half of it. Amen. I'd take 6 weeks of showing up, citywide, God-moving, sin-killing, soul-saving. I mean, I'll tell you, I'd take 6 weeks of that.
Yeah.
When we think about revival, we think about a church-wide, what would we say? A corporate revival. One that involved anybody. But you know, before you'd ever have a corporate revival or a church-wide or citywide, you have to have a personal revival. And I'd say Isaiah had a personal revival right here. In a low place, in a downtime in his life. Hey, listen, man, I don't find anybody else in our story but Isaiah and the Lord. He's in a low place. And I'm going to tell you what to do when you get in them low places in your life. We can learn some advice from Isaiah. I'll try to give you this quick tonight. I'm tired. I preached this morning. I had a funeral this afternoon. I'll go as fast as I can, and I'm going to give y'all a God. Amen.
Yeah.
Number one, if you're taking notes, when we get down, we need to see what Isaiah saw. We need to see what Isaiah saw. Now listen to me carefully. When you get in a low place in your life, let's just go ahead and spit the word out. Depressed. Discouraged. Just down and low. If you're not careful, all you'll be able to see is what is wrong. That's how, and the devil will magnify that thing. It'll be like a neon flashing light in your soul. And that's all you'll be able to see. That's why when people start to get depressed, they go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, because everything that's wrong is magnified. And what we need to do is what Isaiah did. We need to say, Lord, let me see what Isaiah saw. He said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also, say the next three words,
the Lord.
I saw the Lord. I'm telling you, you get a good glimpse of him. The Hebrew writer, Brother Paul, said, but we see Jesus. Probably when we get pretty low, we haven't really got our eyes on him. It's hard to be depressed looking at your Savior. It's hard to be down and discouraged. And you know what I'm talking about? Kind of withdrawn and want to crawl in a hole somewhere. It's hard to stay that way when you got your eyes looking up.
Amen.
We need to see the Lord. Listen, man, we need to see what Isaiah saw. Lord, you don't you notice what Isaiah saw? Not only did he see the Lord, but he saw his position. He saw the Lord's position. Where was it? Come on, talk to me. High and lift it up. He said, I saw a throne. When you see a throne, that's a place of leadership. That's a place of lordship. He said, I saw the Lord. Let's just read it. Sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When we get in a low place, we need to see the Lord, but we need to see his position, who he is, and his authority in our life. You see, what Isaiah had been thinking about was a dead king. So God redirects his focus and his vision off of a king that had died on the one that is still on the throne and will never die. Can I tell you tonight, I don't care how low you are, I don't care how bad you feel, we serve a God tonight who's still on the throne and he's still in control and he's still in power. If glory wins, it does not diminish who God is. Let me say it again. I don't care if we are on the interweb. If that wicked woman wins, it does not diminish who our God is. I don't know how many Christians, I'm talking about Bible believers.
Brother Charles, has said this to me. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do if that woman wins. Hey, we've had 8 years of what we got.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hey, I don't give a rip. I'm just going to breathe. We've had 8 years of what we got.
Amen.
Hey, we saw five people saved this morning. God's still the Savior today. I'm praying for America. I'm praying for the election. What I'm trying to say is we need to see God in His position, not who's sitting on the throne in Washington, D.C. I'm not so worried as much about Pennsylvania Avenue as I am Golden Avenue.
Yes, sir.
As long as the one's still on the throne on Golden Avenue, I believe he can take care of Pennsylvania Avenue. Somebody ought to help me with that. We get low, we need to see the Lord high and lift it up and see His position. Our King's not dead. Amen. Old King, live forever. Hallelujah. We've got an everlasting God, and He's still on the throne. I don't believe the Lord sitting in heaven going tonight. I don't know what we're going to do if heaven gets us there. I don't know how we're going to do it. Father, I don't know what we do. The Father says, Son, don't look at me. I don't either. And the Holy Ghost says, I ain't got a clue. I don't believe that's the case. I believe the Lord's saying, right on time. I'm not predicting she's going to win. She ain't getting my vote, I promise you that. I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Amen. What I'm saying is, we're not careful, all this other stuff gets our attention and our focus, and we'll get our mindset that we're done for. And we're doomed. While God's standing up there in heaven going, hey, hey. Hey, I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still well. I'm still showing you miracle after miracle. I'm still answering prayer after prayer. Hey, don't give up on me now. We're in the last days, boys. We're in the last push. Don't get down now. Hey, quit looking down. Look up. Somebody said years ago, if you look without, you'll get discouraged. In other words, if you look around. If you look without, you'll get discouraged. If you look within, you'll get disgusted. And if you'll look up, you'll get delivered. Amen. We need to see in a low place in our life what Isaiah saw. He saw the Lord in his godly position. His position of authority. His position of authority. Not only did he see God in his position, but he saw him in his personality. He saw him in his personality. We read in verse 2 and 3 about those creatures, those seraphim that flew around the throne, and they cried one to another, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hey, you know what he saw? He saw that God was not only in the position of authority, but he saw that his personality was holy. We serve a holy God. I mentioned this a week or so ago, that people treat God with such disrespect today. Amen. We ought to come before Him humble. We ought to come before Him. We ought to come before Him broken. It ought to shame us when we come. Them creatures couldn't even look on Him. That's why they covered their face.
Amen.
We serve a holy God.
Amen.
He's a holy God. He's a just God. Amen. We not only need to see Him in His position, but we need to see Him in His personality.
Amen.
Amen. In Him there is no God.
Amen.
Amen. He's a holy God.
Amen.
He's a holy. Let me say it again. He's a holy God.
Amen.
That's only that the language of those seraphim. That's all they knew, Brother Todd. They don't have a big alphabetical language. H-O-L-Y. That's all they know. They fly around that throne and scream, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I mean, brother, can you imagine one job to have? Just fly around that throne and cry, holy, holy, holy.
You know what it is? It's a constant reminder to everybody who comes near that that one in the position of authority sitting on that throne is not just holding the position, but his personality is holiness.
Amen.
Amen. You know what that requires? Well, it requires us to want to be holy.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah, in this low place or this down time, he looks up and he sees God's position. He's still on the throne. We used to sing that song.
Amen.
In the choir. He's still on the throne.
Right.
He's still in control. Mitch, you remember that? Y'all used to sing it. Boy, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, he is still on the throne.
Amen.
He is still in control. You listen to Fox News and all that, but you will blow your brains out, man. Are you listening? Boy, if we'll look up tonight, and we'll see God still in control. And we'll see that our God, he has not went the way of the contemporary Christian movement. He has not went the way of lifestyle evangelism. He's still a holy God. He's as holy today as he was in eternity past, and he'll be just as holy in eternity future. He said, I am the Lord, and a change not. If it was a sin 1,000 years ago, it's a sin today. If God was unpleased with it way back yonder, he's unpleased with it today. He's still God. He's still a holy God. Amen. Then you get your eyes on me, and I know people who are discouraged because of pastors who used to believe the Bible no longer do. I'd say they never did.
Amen.
Just being honest, I'd say they never did. Lord, they'd stand up, proclaim his King James Bible, the Word of God, blah, and then all of a sudden, it's not anymore. Well, which is it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't think they were ever truly convinced in their heart.
Amen. That's right.
To me, it's not up for debate. Don't bring your Mickey Mouse version up here and tell me mine's better. No, my mind's made up. You might as well go talk to the concrete wall over there. My mind's made up.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know why that got thrown in there. Oh, God never changed. Amen.
Amen.
It just felt good. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah saw the Lord's position. Then he saw his personality. I believe God has a personality.
Yes.
Amen.
I believe his personality is holy.
Amen.
I believe you got around God very much. I don't know, you might come away and say, boy, he's wise.
And he is.
Boy, he's knowledgeable.
And he is.
He's powerful.
And he is.
But them creatures wasn't flying around that throne crying, powerful, powerful, powerful.
Right.
Knowledgeable, knowledgeable, knowledgeable. They were crying, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
He is the Lord. He's holy.
Amen.
He's holy. We need to see what Isaiah saw. He saw God's position of authority. He saw his personality of holiness. But then in verse number four, the Bible said the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. He saw God's presence. That picture of that house being filled with smoke, if you remember that temple when it was completed, God filled, it was a picture of the presence of God. Boy, I tell you get low, man, you get in God's presence, it'll change your state of mind. You get in the presence of God, it'll change your state of mind, but it'll change your state of heart. Amen. This thing pictures the presence of God. That robe was the robe speaks of God's presence and God's power and God's holiness and all those things. But we are reminded, hey, that God is still God no matter what our situation is. Hey, how long has it been since you felt the presence of God?
Amen.
How long has it been since you got so low you didn't mourn for me? I wonder if there's some here tonight that's gotten so far away from God that if his presence was there, you wouldn't even know it. Why? You're not looking for it. Isaiah said, I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You don't see the Lord by looking in the dumps.
Yeah.
To see the Lord, you're going to have to look up.
Right.
Do you know your whole demeanor changes from when you're looking down to when you're looking up?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Chris done a lot of coon hunting. We'd listen to them dogs running in the woods in the middle of the night. And you could tell, we could tell the difference. We could tell, we'd hear that bark change, couldn't we, brother? We'd say, he's looking up. That voice of that dog would change from looking at the ground. He started looking up that tree. Boy, he started looking up that tree. His whole bark changed.
Right.
And we knew he's no longer looking at, hey, your whole demeanor had changed. Your whole personality will change. Your whole countenance will change. When you stop looking down and you start looking up.
Amen.
I know some of you, I can put my hand on your head tonight. You've been looking down too long. It's time to see what Isaiah saw. When you see what he saw, you're going to have to look up. You're going to have to get your eyes off the trouble and the trial. And I know it's there. Remember Peter, when he got out of the boat, He said, the Lord said, don't be afraid, it's me. The Lord said, Peter said, well, if it's you, let me come out there.
That's right.
Peter got out there and started walking on the water just like Jesus was.
Amen.
When you got to look at the waves.
Yes, sir.
When you got to pay attention to that wind.
Yeah.
And he went down. What happened? He quit looking at the Lord.
Amen.
He quit looking at the Lord. We need to get our eyes off of everything that's wrong. And we need to see what Isaiah saw.
Amen.
But it don't stop there. We need to sense what Isaiah sees. We not only need to see, and I guarantee you, if we'll see what he saw, we'll sense what he sees. Let me say that again. If we'll see what he saw, we'll sense what he sees.
Amen.
Does that make sense? I'm going to say it one more time. If we'll just see what he saw, we'll sense what he sees. Look at verse number 5. I want to show you something. He sensed his own condition. He said, then said I, say the next three words with me.
Woe
is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and a dweller in the midst of the people of unclean lips. You know what that is? He saw the Lord and it revealed his own condition.
That's right.
He saw the Lord and he sensed his own condition. You get in the presence of God. I don't think you really get the presence of the Lord. Just let Brother Charles be the Lord. I don't think you get the presence of the Lord and say, hey, guess what I did?
No.
I handed out 5,000 golf tracks this year. Beat that.
No.
I don't think you get the presence of the Lord and start bragging on your spirituality.
Amen.
I don't think you get in the presence of the Lord and start talking about how many verses you can quote. I think you get in the presence of the Lord and the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to go, oh.
Amen.
What we like to do is get in the presence of each other. We like to measure up. I'm going to do a better than Bo did. I'm all right. At least I ain't as bad as so-and-so.
Yeah.
How about comparing yourself to him?
Yeah.
You get up next to that one, they're flying around his head crying, holy, holy, holy.
Right.
Lord, Lord.
Amen.
Compare yourself to that. I don't care how spiritual you are. You're going to do the same thing Isaiah did, and you're going to sit to your own condition.
Amen.
Woo. And you're going to go.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I hate it when I get around a bunch of educated preachers. Why do these people have me done? I ain't got it. I don't even speak good English. I'm a redhead. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just an old country boy. They get me up there in places like New York and places like Dillon, Montana, preaching with Paul Chapel and David Gibbs, and I'm like, I get around these guys, they write books. I'm talking about they got brains coming out their ears. And I get around them and I sense my stupidity.
Bless.
Put yourself in my shoes. You get a preacher tell you, oh, by the way, you're preaching with Brother Chapman. You're preaching with Brother Gill. I just tell you what made me more nervous than anything, preaching to Brother Gibbs' wife.
Oh.
I told her, I said, Miss Gibbs, will you meditate and float up off the ground? Me and her hit it off, man. She was my butt. But I get around people like that, you know what it does? I look at their level of leadership skill and ability and their education, their ability to preach and speak, and I'm just like, I want to go home. It ought to be that way when we get in the presence of God.
Amen.
It's different. And listen, don't get me wrong. I love our worship. But there's a difference in an emotional stir and getting in the presence of God. You get in the presence of God, you will sense your own condition.
Amen.
And I've never really got in the presence of God that I didn't go, oh, man. Oh, man. He said, Lord, I'm ungodly. I'm a man of unclean lips. He sensed his own condition. Not only need to see what he saw, but we need to sense what he sees. And if we'll just see what he saw, we might sense what he sees. Our own condition. And then he sensed his own cleansing. Hey, if you realize your condition, that's a good thing. Because you're not going to get better until you do. He sensed his own condition, and now that he sensed his own condition, okay, you've admitted, you've confessed your sin. You're a man of unclean lips. Now we do something about it. Amen. Verse number 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which was taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. How about that? He saw the Lord. Then he saw himself. And then he confessed what he saw in himself. You know what the Lord did? He made provision for it. Not one time in my life, Brother Oz, have I ever come to God and said, Lord, I realize where I've erred. I realize where I'm failing. God, I'm so sorry. I've never had God say, I don't have anything to cover that. For every sin I've ever committed, there's been blood. Did you know in your King James Bible, I forgot the exact number, but the exact amount of times you find the word sin in the Bible, you find the word blood. What a coincidence. They're in there the exact same amount of time. For every sin, there's blood. Hallelujah. I'm glad when I sense my own condition and I confess my own condition that God cleanses that condition.
Amen.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
We need to see what he saw. We need to sense what he sensed. Then lastly, I'm done. We need to see what he said. We need to see what he saw. We need to sense what he sensed. But then we need to say what he said. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall ascend and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me.
Amen.
Now, I'm not sharp as knife in the drawer. Something has changed between verse number 5 and verse number 8. There's been a big change between verse number 5 and verse number 8. Verse number 5, woe is me. For I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know what he said? I ain't worthy. I ain't worthy to be in your presence. You ever been in a position in your life where you felt like you weren't worthy to do nothing for God? Amen. You kind of put yourself on the spiritual shelf. Am I by myself? But between verse number 5 and verse number 8, Isaiah has a revival. Isaiah confesses what he is, and he confesses his condition, and the Lord purges and cleanses that condition. Now he qualifies.
Yeah.
I got to be careful. I get so fed up with Baptist politics that it makes me want to vomit.
Amen.
And I know y'all, and I probably shouldn't even talk about this, but you don't understand. I travel all over this country, and I see it. Oh, my goodness.
these brethren that qualify this one and disqualify that one.
Yeah, come on. That's right.
Are you listening? These pastors that are so spiritual that they can tweet and Facebook about the revival in Burlington, North Carolina.
Yeah, come on.
And run that little preacher to the ground.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I'd be scared if I was.
Right.
Amen, brother.
I'd be absolutely, I'd be afraid if I was those men.
Yes.
They were showing me, we were together somewhere, Brother Tony, Shirley, and I, and Levi, and they were showing me on their phones, that, and I don't tweet, by the way. I don't even think it sounds manly.
Yeah.
I want to call that thing fist bump or something. I ain't tweeting that. I might tweet her tonight when we get off. I ain't tweeting. They were showing me. And one of the guys that was the most critical of that revival had a fake name. Is it a handle or whatever their, what are their name on their tweet? Had a fake name. Wouldn't even put his real name on. Boy, that's a man name.
Amen.
Want to run somebody in the ground that ain't even got guts enough to put his name on.
Right.
Amen. You want to write me a bad letter? If you want it read, you better put your name on it. If it ain't signed, I ain't reading. I do not read anonymous mail. Amen. Bunzel ain't open with my letter. Amen. If you don't want her to read something you write to me, you better hand it to me personally. If she thinks it'll hurt me, she told God.
Amen.
I like that. Man, I got way off of what I do. We need to. I know what the politics. Everybody qualifying everybody. Disqualifying everybody. Hey, just cause somebody ain't your stripe. Just cause somebody ain't your color. Just cause somebody ain't your culture. Don't mean God ain't using you. Are you okay? Hey, them people out there in California, they different than us. Amen. I remember the first time I went to Chicago. I was in a big meeting out there, and I heard them people singing awfulest stuff I ever heard in my life. We always call it round mouth singing. Almost operatic. Then I watched God begin to anoint and use that thing, and I thought, I guess it works here. But we'll turn our nose down at somebody just because they're culturally different. Some of them preachers up north, they'll blast us out of the water because we got a bass guitar. Because we have a little banjo every now and then. I'm like, hey, dude, it's a sight. Hey, man, we're picking guitar. Y'all smile, you'll be all right. Hey, man, we have Cowboy Sunday. We ride horses. Shoot at one another. Hallelujah. With blanks, amen. Amen. Disqualified.
Yeah.
Be careful who you qualify.
Maybe.
God doesn't qualify.
Amen.
God doesn't disqualify.
Amen.
Amen. We need to see what he saw. We need to see it for what he sees. Then we need to say what he said. Fear my.
Yeah.
Fear my Lord. Send me. I'll never forget when I surrendered my life. Not when I got saved, but when I surrendered my life to serve God. Up under the Lord's Supper table at Lotto Springs Baptist Church, I'll never forget. That's what I said. I didn't know a whole lot of Bible, but I'd read that. I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but here's mine. Send me. If I had any idea then, I probably ran for the hills. Probably bought a new bass boat and left town. Went on a tournament trail. I knew everything I was going to face between the end and the day.
But now looking back, I have to say it's been worth it all. Worth everybody. Wisest decision I ever made was surrendering my heart to God. I said, "Here I am, God. Whatever you want me to do." But Stacy and I was riding back from that funeral today. He said something to the effect that you've kind of stuck to your word. He said, "You've said every year since I've been here, you're going to slow down." He said, "You don't have." He said, "You really have backed off." I said, "Yes, I have. Yes, I have." He said, "Are you going to quit altogether?" I said, "No, we won't let me quit altogether. I'm going to go where he's sending
me. Amen.
And if he's not sending me, I'm not going." It's that simple. I'm not out trying to get popular. I'm reevaluating things. I'm not going to be somebody's entertainment. If I can't go and help, I don't need to go.
Amen.
I want to be used of God. If God can use me to go to another state somewhere and help a little preacher who's discovered, count me in. God used me to go somewhere and preach 6 people saved, count me in. If all they want is somebody to put their heels on their head, greatest thing you'll ever do is surrender your life to God. Here I am. Send me. We're afraid of what comes next.
Right.
We're afraid of what comes next.
That's right.
That night, under that Lord's Supper table, I'm getting that with all my heart, and God knew I'd do it. If he'd have said Papua New Guinea, that's where I'd be tonight, eating monkey meat under a tree. Thank you. I was that serious. God, I don't care what you do. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I meant that thing. I saw the Lord. I saw the self. How unworthy, how unclean I was. I confessed that thing to God, and God qualified me and said, "Here, go for me." And I said, "God, I will." I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. And it wasn't as long as it's this, as long as it's that. You see, God knew better what I needed to do than I did myself. God knew more what would make me happy than I did. If I was going to be a preacher, I wouldn't have been an evangelist. Go to these churches, rip everybody's faces off, and go home. I think that's some of them's attitude.
Yeah.
Amen. I worry about some evangelists that ain't never pastored.
Yeah.
And I hear them preach and they get out of line. Hey, some things evangelists shouldn't fool with this pastoral.
Right.
You okay?
Right.
Now, I'm a firm believer. I believe in evangelists. Thank you, God, for it. But if I was going to have that, would have been my deal right there. The Lord knew what I needed to do.
Amen.
And he knew where I needed to be.
Amen.
But more than anything, he needed to know that I was moving. Are you in a place tonight? And the Lord asked you to do something to do. What if it meant going to a mission field? What if it meant going out somewhere in the Midwest or the West and starting a church? Leaving your home and things. That's big stuff.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful every day God left me right here. I support missionaries. You know why I support missionaries? Because I'm thankful God didn't make me that. And he couldn't. He left me right here. I'd never lived more than 5 miles from my mama. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Every one of my children lived within 10 minutes of my house. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
What are you willing to do? There's never a time we have a missionary that doesn't tear my heart up. He's always a part of me. Feels like I always have. I wonder if somebody comes off tonight and says, "Here's my whatever you want me to do, God." Before you get to that position, you're going to going to have to see you. You're going to have a sense about yourself, where you are. You're going to see him where he is, in the Father, in control, and holding. You're going to see yourself where you are. And then you can say what he said. Hear me, baby. Hey, don't be scared. Don't be scared. The greatest joy, the greatest happiness you'll ever know is the will of God for your life. There's no true happiness, there's no true joy outside of a stand on faith in him. Look up as y'all come. See what he saw. I'm talking about give you love. See what he saw. Sense what he said. And then say what he said. You might have walked in.